Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So last night, the US President Donald Trump addressed tens of thousands of mourners gathered in Arizona for Charlie Kirk's memorial service. He's the conservative activist who was shot dead on the 10th of September at a Utah university. People queued for hours to access the service, which many described as resembling a raucous political rally or a mega church service. Let's take a listen to some of what Donald Trump had to say.
Today, America is a nation in grief, a nation in shock, and a nation in mourning. He's a martyr now for American freedom. I know I speak for everyone here today when I say that none of us will ever forget Charlie Kirk.
Well, for more, we're joined by Sarah Firth, who's foreign correspondent based in Washington. Sarah, thank you for being with us. Donald Trump was there. We had Vice President J.D. Vance in attendance and many other top officials from the Trump administration. They were all praising Charlie Kirk's political legacy. Will you give us a general sense of what this really extraordinary memorial service for a non-elected person was like?
Yes, it was extraordinary, Claire. That's the right word. A huge turnout. And as you said, the president there, the vice president, J.D. Vance, in attendance as well. And really, the speeches that you heard a little bit there from President Trump talking about this continuation of Charlie Kirk's vision, President Trump describing him as a great missionary, talking about his noble spirit, his great purpose. He made mention of the fact that Charlie Kirk didn't hate his opponents, was always trying to reach out. President Trump at one point saying, you know, that he differed from Charlie Kirk with that saying, I do hate my opponents. I don't want the best for them. But, you know, just a huge tribute paid from the, from the president and the top leaders in the country. And of course, we heard a very, very emotional tribute from Charlie Kirk's widow, Erica Kirk, as well.
And she said she had forgiven her husband's alleged killer. That's something that Donald Trump didn't agree with her on. Well, he accepted her decision to do that, but he doesn't have the same view.
No, President Trump calling the alleged killer a radicalized, cold-blooded monster. So, you know, more of the tough talking that we've heard from President Trump there when describing the situation. But it was a very emotional, powerful moment when we saw Erica Kirk sort of take to the stage, trying to hold back tears. She was saying a prayer at one point, and yes, forgiving, saying she forgave the killer. She, of course, is going to be carrying on the work that her husband did at Turning Point USA. And so really this, again, it was, you know, it was a memorial for Charlie Kirk's life and a promise from those in attendance that his work would be continued.
Okay, now let's move on to another story that I know has been making headlines in the United States. And this is Donald Trump's targeting of alleged Venezuelan drug boats. And last week, President Trump said the military had destroyed another Venezuelan drug vessel traveling in international waters. He said it was on its way to the United States, and he shared the footage of that destruction on his social media platform. And he was asked at a press conference if he planned to provide proof that these were narco-terrorists. Here's what Donald Trump had to say.
Well, we have proof. All you have to do is look at the cargo that was, like, it's spattered all over the ocean. Big bags of cocaine and fentanyl all over the place.
Now, Sarah, he says that he has knocked off three boats. Only two have been publicly confirmed. This latest strike, though, killed three people. What more can you tell us?
Yes, so he posted on social media saying that the US had carried out its third fatal strike. This is against an alleged drug smuggling vessel. It's the third such strike this month. We're told that that strike killed three, and President Trump saying that it was carried out against a vessel affiliated with a designated terrorist organization conducting narco trafficking. But we haven't had any further clarity from either the Pentagon or the White House about the origins of the vessel. You've obviously got the footage of that strike that shows that boat speeding through the water. appearing to be hit by missiles before sinking in an explosion. They're using this term narco-terrorist, but the Trump administration is justifying the strikes, saying that military action is necessary to try and stem the flow of drugs into the US. It's the third strike. So on Monday of last week, you had a strike on a boat allegedly carrying drugs from Venezuela that also killed three on board. And on September 2nd, there was a military strike that the administration says killed 11. Trump claiming that boat was operated by Tren de Aragua, the gang that has been listed now in the US as a foreign terrorist organization. So this is the administration's new war on drugs, carrying out these strikes at sea. But a massive question from a lot of Democrats, Republicans, human rights organizations here about the legality around this.
Sarah, thank you very much. Let's get more on this now from Michael O'Sullivan, former Garda Assistant Commissioner and former Executive Director of the Maritime Analysis and Operations Centre. Michael, you're very welcome to the programme. What do you think about what Donald Trump is doing here? And why do you think he's honing in on these Venezuelan vessels?
Yeah, good morning, Claire. Why is he honing in on them? I guess they're the low-hanging fruit, and I guess what he's doing is a bit like your last speaker said, tough talking and being tough with these people. But when you look at it, when you look at the standard operating procedures of intercepting these vessels, these are go-fast, which are ribs, reinforced, inflatable boats with high-powered engines. They leave Venezuela, and you have to, the background to this is Venezuela is effectively a narco state because the Americans have charged, I think, President Maduro, his vice president, and a half dozen other senior officers. So there's no chance of law enforcement in Venezuela stopping the exodus of cocaine, the exportation of cocaine to the US. So the US has sent three warships down. Now, it's not unusual to intercept ribs. They're intercepted almost on a daily basis, coming from Africa to Europe by the Guardia Civil and the Spanish Customs. But international maritime law dictates that there has to be an evidence-based approach. In other words, intercept the vessel, detain the occupants, search the vessel. If you don't find drugs, you let them go. If you find drugs, they get arrested and they get brought to the nearest country or the country of the vessel that intercepts them, depending on circumstances, and they get brought before courts, and the normal rules of evidence and court rules apply. In this case, I think it's a quick fix solution, which is most unusual. I've never heard it happen before. It's safe to say it never happened before.
So this is when we see the destruction of these boats, yeah, the killing of the people on board. This is completely unheard of, right? In this practice.
Absolutely unheard of. Yeah, it doesn't happen. It has never happened. There are lots of ribs being seized with occupants on board. It has never happened, to the best of my knowledge, in an international law enforcement operation, that they blow up the boat first and ask questions later. Doesn't happen.
Yeah. Michael, you said Venezuela is considered to be a narco state, but these drugs, are they originating in Venezuela or are they coming from Colombia?
Yeah, what's happening is they're coming from Colombia, but you have members of the FARC terrorist group, and you have another cartel, De Los Soles, and they're based in Venezuela, and they're generally bribing individuals in the administration there, and they're using Venezuela as a transit route, and they're using the coast of Venezuela to send these boats north towards Nicaragua and then on to Mexico. You also have container ships coming out of there, and you have small light aircraft coming out of there. Now, the Dutch have done a lot of work there, and the Dutch Antilles and the French in Martinique, and they've intercepted a lot of these boats. But it's the normal manner of interception, which is stop the vessel and seize the drugs and prosecute the individuals. This has never happened.
What are your concerns then, given the Trump administration's tactics here?
Well, if you see a go-fast and you blow it up on the assumption there are drugs and narco-terrorists or drug traffickers on board, you really have to be right all the time, because and even if they are, it doesn't give you the right to, as I say, blow them up. These people are looking on radar at vessels, and there's no evidence. There's no evidence that they should be intercepted, and there's certainly no grounds anywhere under any law to kill people in this manner.
Mm-hmm. The same route then that you've just described to us, is that used to funnel drugs into Europe?
Yeah, with larger ships, it is. Some of the ports of Venezuela and nearby Brazil are used, but they will send larger ships. Normally what happens, a rib could go out to what they call a mothership, load up a couple of tons, and that vessel could head on to Europe. Now, the vessel may never come into Europe. It may, for example, go on to Turkey, but then a fishing trawler or another rib will come out from Europe, a daughter ship it's called, mm-hmm. and they will offload the cocaine and bring it back to the mainland.
Well, it's fascinating and it's unprecedented, and who knows what the fallout from it could be. Michael, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us. Michael O'Sullivan there, former Garda Assistant Commissioner. Now, coming up next, a new book on the life of one of Ireland's best-known GPs and mental health experts. Dr. Harry Barry will be here after the break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.